And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Making common sense like a superpower. Hey, a couple of pieces of breaking news, just so you know. It appears that the Hunter Biden trial is underway. We'll see how strongly the Democrats feel about juries after this, because the jury selection is underway as we speak right now in Hunter Biden's federal gun trial. Will he get any jail time? I don't know. I don't know that he will. But golly, you talk about a hedonistic lifestyle. I mean, this guy is something else. But, you know, we'll wait and watch and we'll see, right? But the left wants this to go away so badly because it reflects, does it reflect on Joe Biden? Yes, it does. You know why? Because you're going to wind up hearing some really creepy stuff out of this guy. And Hunter may have gotten his life together, and I'm glad. I hope he has. I really do. I mean, because, I mean, you talk about a guy who's got everything in the world potentially going for him. He's part of a family in politics. His dad's a president of the United States, you know. It's one of those things where you look at it and go, dude, you had every opportunity in the world and you just squandered it away. You got kicked out of the Navy for drug use. When his brother Bo passed away, he had an affair with his brother's widow. And, you know, just on. And then there's all these images of him, you know, doing crack and all that with hookers and just, I mean, and he's the son of the president. And I got news. If any of that had been Donald Trump Jr., it would have been all we heard about. There would have been no sparing us. And yet that's been Hunter Biden's life. Well, somewhere in the middle of it all, he lied on the application for a firearm, and got caught. And then he tried to dispose of the firearm illegally. What did he do? He threw it in a trash can where anybody can get to it. So all said and done, Hunter's got some problems in his life. He does. He's allegedly recovered now. I hope he has. He still has to face an accountability piece, right? He still has to be held accountable for his. You can be forgiven and still face consequences. There's that. So just be aware. You can be forgiven and still face consequences. So we'll wait and see. But I'm also curious to see how the Democrats react to the trial of one of their own, right? Going to be interesting. In a big way. Donald Trump, on the other hand, I think so far, me personally, I think he's done a great job in the aftermath of his conviction last week. There's competing polls. Right now, most polls are saying it has not hurt his reelection efforts at all. Some are saying it's even helped. There is one poll that came out that said that I forgot what percentage it was, but it was enough to be worrisome, like 10 or 15%, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going from memory. Potential Trump voters said they now can't vote for him. I got news. They were so on the fence before, if that's true, that they probably weren't going to vote for him in the first place. But I look at this and go, well, then you need to understand the court system, because certainly you do understand the appeal process. I'm not going to be surprised if the Supreme Court of the United States couldn't get involved. But we also know right now, though, that Trump has done a great job, first of all, of handling this. His rhetoric, it's been something. His reception by the crowds, like when he went to a USC fight this weekend, it was like, you know, just, it was a hero that walked in the room. I mean, the crowd went crazy for him. The guy who won one of his fights jumped out of the ring, came over to shake Trump's hand when he was done. The reception he gets everywhere he goes is clearly indicative that he is a populist leader. He also raised a whole lot of money, Like, I need to look it up and see to verify how much he's raised since the conviction. There are some indications he's raised like a couple hundred million dollars. I don't know if that's exactly accurate. I saw the headline on that one. We do know that in the first 24 hours, actually 12 hours, that he raised like close to $30 million. So all said and done, it has not hurt him. If anything, it might have helped him. We're going to wait and see. But that's all the breaking news right now, the legal stuff. When we get back from the break that we're about to go into right now, I'll come back in and we're going to jump into some Bidenomics, because y'all, you know the deal. Man, you and I both know. Charlene just texted me from the grocery store a minute ago. We know how much it costs to go get groceries. I mean, you can't even, oh, by the way, get much of anything. How many times have you... And she hates it when I do this. We go to the movie theater And if we do the thing where they got the ticket purchase plus the popcorn plus the drink, she says, don't say anything. I can't help myself. I check out the movie theater and I go, oh my gosh, every single time out loud. She's like, stop it. It's embarrassing. I can't help it. But now we're all doing it at the grocery store, aren't we? All I got was milk and bread and some apples and a little bit of peanut butter and some bacon. And the bacon kicked it over the edge. And now I got to take something and put it back on the shelf. That's grocery getting right now, y'all. That's reality. That's Bidenomics. At every single turn, we are not being fooled. But Biden has tried to tell us that, you know, the stories about inflation are inflated. Really? I don't think so. Because I know when I spend $100 and I walk out of the store and I've got two little plastic bags in my hand, something just doesn't feel right at all. Like, at all. I'm not sure that bacon has ever cost this much in the history of ever. And yet, you also look at it and go, it costs that much, and yet shrinkflation has taken over. And suddenly the packaging is the same, but the contents are smaller, but the price is up. What in God's name? Well, it's called Bidenomics, and we'll talk about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, let's switch gears here for a bit. Bidenomics. Ooh, there's a word. Some of you just kind of shivered in your seats. So we all see it. Oh, by the way, it's real. And don't try and tell us it's not. So Daily Caller has an article. Dateline May 29th. So where are we? About 4 days ago, 5 days ago? Says recently President Biden's problem with inflation has gotten increasingly, inflated. Consumer price inflation has cooled down somewhat, but it continues to proliferate in the housing industry, which has become increasingly evident in key swing states. What they're trying to say here is there are indicators that the economy is not where it needs to be, and some of the swing states that Biden really, really, really needs are the ones that are struggling the most. Since housing costs remain the most significant driver of core inflation, but the cost of shelter has increased 5.5% this April over last year. Wow. So it's a 5% increase in the cost of some form of housing, whether it be rent or purchasing or whatever the case may be. President Biden recognizes he has a political problem here, which is why he's made fighting rent inflation one of his top campaign promises. Of course, the president won't take responsibility for his administration's reckless agenda, which has included trillions of dollars in unnecessary spending, restrictive energy policies that have ballooned the price of electricity and gas, and a laundry list of regulatory burdens that pushed inflation to a 40-year high. All said and done, Biden's got to own this. Well, he doesn't. He doesn't want to own it. I get that campaigning is you want to talk about your highlights and try to avoid your foibles, but the reality is this is a big hairy deal. This is kitchen table politics right here. When you've got a topic that literally affects everybody, it doesn't matter what you're, I mean, certainly some can absorb it more than others, but there's not a single person in this nation who doesn't feel Bidenomics. Story from Fox News, Dateline, same time, actually, May 29th. Bidenomics spin versus the grocery store reality. This was actually written by Newt Gingrich. He said, virtually every major poll identifies inflation and rising prices as one of the biggest challenges facing Americans. People are finding it harder and harder to make ends meet. Many Americans take in second and third jobs to keep up with the cost of living. He talked about how his own wife went to the store the other day and was just shocked when she had to buy a 12-pack of Diet Coke, and it was close to a dollar a can. Bidenflation, he says, shows up in every aisle of the store. Eggs are up, milk is up, bread is up, meat is up. In a second term, he says we might be reduced, to buying one bowl of cereal at a time and eggs by the quarter dozen. Well, okay. The interesting thing is there's a group of experts at the Winston Group who just recently decided to take a look at inflation by president. All right, so they isolate it and then just talk about it as a presidential inflation rate. In other words, what has happened during this term of office? Okay, the trending chart shows that year-over-year inflation comes in at roughly 3.4%, but the new presidential inflation rate ticks up to 19.9%, almost a 20% cumulative price increase since Biden took office. Wow. Wow. Listen, does he have time to recover it? I don't know that he does. Now, do I think it's recoverable? Absolutely. I mean, look at, I want to remind you guys of history. And by the way, your wallet right now is one of the things that needs to get your vote as much as anything. National security, the southern border, and the economy. Those things right there are three of the biggest driving factors. And the interesting thing is the southern border has ticked up, immigration reform has ticked up to be the number one issue, but closely followed by the economy. Because people feel the pain in their wallet. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville on 1819 News had a story that came out just, oh gosh, a couple weeks ago. He says, Tuberville has a way with words too, by the way, doesn't he? He says, Bidenomics has turned the dollar menu into the $5 menu. It's true. But then he looks at, you got price increases. Okay, Big Rig, you ready? All right. Of the three, if I name three restaurants, this is not meant to be an advertisement, but you want to take at the menu here for McDonald's, Taco Bell, or Chick-fil-A? Which one do you want to look at?
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. God's food.
Oh, I love Chick-fil-A.
Manna from heaven fell. It might have been chicken minis. I don't know.
Agreed.
But they were meatless, so that can't be. Okay, never
nope,
mind.
Nope, never mind.
All right. Chick-fil-A prices. The end of 2019, which would be towards the end of the Trump term, right? A deluxe chicken sandwich, $3.65. You know what it is now, mid-2024?
$7.
Dude, you're close. $6.55.
Wow.
That's a 79.5% increase. Do your kids are all young. Do they like chicken nuggets?
Oh, they love them.
All right. Are y'all like chicken nugget aficionados?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of dipping sauce do they like?
Polynesian.
Oh, they're Polynesian. Mm-hmm. Y'all are a racy family. All right. Chick-fil-A nuggets into 2019, $3.05. What is it for an 8-pack of chicken nuggets right now?
$10.
No, dude. Okay, I can't give you that one.
No, I know the meal.
$5.99.
Okay.
Oh, you want the well? No, even still, $5.99 though. $5.99. That's a 96% increase.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. All right, let's go Taco Bell. How about the beefy 5-layer burrito?
Wasn't that like a dollar or two or something?
It used to be $1.69 in 2019.
Okay.
All right. So you're spot on. What would it be right now? Mid 2024.
I'm going to say $3.49.
Dude, you're spot on. $3.69.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
I know my fast food prices.
Apparently you do. All right. Let's do some McDonald's. We got to do some McDonald's. A Big Mac at the end of 2019 was what?
I want to say like just the burger?
Yeah, just the Big Mac itself.
Like maybe four or something?
$3.99. So you're close.
Okay.
All right. All right. What is a Big Mac right now, mid-2024? Law mercy.
I'm going to go like in the middle here, maybe $8.
$7.49.
Okay.
You're spot on close.
All right, I should work for the Bidenomics team.
That's an 87% increase. So yeah, Tommy Tuberville, you are not wrong. Bidenomics has turned the dollar menu into the $5 menu. So what else is out there? I mentioned housing a minute ago. So housing starts are one of the key performance indicators for an economy. When you look at housing, and that can, by the way, it can be housing construction, it can be cost of basically living, like standards, like where you're going to live. Some argue that the presidential election outcomes in swing counties around the nation are particularly vulnerable to the real estate economy. Fox Business story May 29th. Everything came out May 29th. May 29th says a new study just came out that evaluated county-level housing market performances on voter behaviors in six presidential elections between the years 2000 and 2020. In the study, this is key, published in the Journal of Real Estate Research, a leading academic journal in real estate. All right, the authors discovered that counties who had superior house price performance in the 4 years leading up to an election were more likely to vote switch. Interesting. So the cost of what you pay in rent or housing starts in the 4 years prior to an election is more likely to get your attention to make you switch your vote from one party to another. It says, conversely, people who live in areas with relatively inferior house price performance during that same four-year span are more likely to switch their vote away from the incumbent. Okay. Where are the seven states that we're talking about seeing the most movement in? Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Okay, there's some swing states in here. What we're saying is, Bidenomics, history says it matters. Remember the whole thing with Bill Clinton? It's the economy, stupid. Well, I got news. In many ways, it still is. He wasn't wrong. He may have been the mouth of the South, James Carville, working for a Democrat, Bill Clinton, but he wasn't wrong. The economy matters. And when the economy's jacked up, people remember it. People vote their pocketbooks. And you and I, right now, you and I can go to the store and buy something that we used to buy, and you heard us talking about it. Big Rig and I were comparing prices. Go get you a Big Rack Mac right now and then question how in the world it goes. The other night, Charlene and I ate out at a local fast food place, two of us, $27. I'm like, what in God's name is happening right now? But that's exactly what we're dealing with. Because everything costs more, it makes everything else cost more. And the trickle-up effect is awful. Bidenomics has been a complete debacle. And you notice they've quit using the term, by the way. Oh, yeah, they have. We'll get back from this break. We'll take this break and we'll come right back. And the question is, what can he do to change it between now and the election? The short answer is not much. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, willing to say the things that nobody else will say, right? That's what we got to do. All right. So finishing this piece up on Bidenomics. So the question is this. You and I see it, right? We go to the store. We see it. We experience it. We know the paycheck doesn't go near as far as it used to. You know, you know that if you were at a place where you were, you know, putting money aside in savings, that it's harder to do that now. That if you need something done like a repair on your house, some kind of unexpected, that's like, oh my gosh, even that's going to be more expensive. It's just, life is just more expensive right now. There's no way around it. It just is. And it all really took off during the Biden administration. Here's the thing. When you flood the market with cash, while at the same time disrupting the flow of commerce with regulatory burdens and interruptions in the entire, you know, economic distribution chain, well, you create a recipe for disaster. At that point, it means there are fewer goods available but more money to spend on it. That's the recipe for inflation. That's why we had 40-year highs on inflation. Those were policies. When you rescind tax cuts and you raise taxes, you create uncertainty in markets. When you tell people that the system is systemically racist or broken, then you disenfranchise people to believe they should participate. When you do things on the international stage that create trade barriers. When you open the floodgates, oh, by the way, on the southern border, and you put a strain on economic systems at the local level, so you start sending federal cash down to that local level, you've created a false base for the market. And then let's go ahead and talk about EVs. When the government comes in and tells you the market will be a certain way, and oh, by the way, they'll subsidize that market for you, they've created a false market that is one day going to self-correct. And it's already starting to do that. Every single one of these has been an economic policy decision made by the Biden administration. Can he do anything between now and November? Story here on the Washington Examiner. Time's running out for President Joe Biden to change the public perception of his economic stewardship, with numerous allies worrying that inflation, regardless of the relative health of the economy, will hamper the president through the general election. What they're basically saying is, ain't no way he can catch up. That's the sense. It says voters have given the president poor marks for his handling of the economy. Just 38% of participants in a May poll from Gallup said they had a great deal or fair amount of confidence in Biden's economic policies. 38%. Far lower than Trump. Far lower than other presidents at this time in their their terms and their agendas. A poll conducted by the Harris Research Foundation found that nearly 3 in 5 people believe that the country's in a recession despite slow but sure economic growth over the past few years. Despite his negative economic polling, Biden has put the economy and inflation at the forefront of his reelection, touting his landmark infrastructure and science investments. Those are the false economies I'm talking about. When you flood the market with tax dollars, all you're doing is creating the false perception of activity. You just subsidized the market. You didn't let the free market actually work. There is no consumer confidence built in the idea of a false market. People don't look at it and go, he said I need an EV, there I need an EV. Some will, but most won't. Most want it because they can't do without it. That's the free market. Most want it because it's the better mousetrap. That's the free market. But when you say, you're going to get it and you're going to like it, and here's the money to buy it with. There. Like me now? That's a false market. People resent that, actually. The same as they resent what is also listed in this is that the Biden administration has been making promises on paying off student loans, which in turn then alienates other voters who can't reap the benefits of that, specifically those who did not go to college or take out loan debt. I know great people who have resisted the idea of debt. God bless them. Who didn't get a college degree but started a great business. Maybe they're in the trades. You know, you start a plumbing or electrical subcontracting business. You got to buy all the tools for it. You got to train the staff. You got to get the certifications and the licensures. You got to put in your bids on the jobs. You got to build yourself up from scratch. You got to buy the new truck. You got to get the new tools. You got to do all the things. Is there a student loan payoff for them? No. In fact, they're the ones paying off the student loans if you get down to it because it's their tax dollars. None of this stuff benefits the economy. And none of this stuff's going to get self-corrected by November. Y'all realize how close we are? What do we got? July, August, September, October. Man, we are literally 5 months-ish away from the election. Praise God. I'm ready to see this thing over with. But I'm also hoping, by the way, that it leads to a change. I've said this before. It's been a long time since I said it, so I'll say it for you now. Look back on history. Look back at the relative financial security of the 80s. Think back to the Reagan administration. But think back to just prior to the Reagan administration. The Carter era was miserable. We had long lines at the gas pump. We had economic malaise. We had difficulty on the world stage. We had the military struggling. We had the hollow army of the day. All these things happened. It was the Carter era, marked for many years as being the worst presidency in modern history. It's now been replaced, but I have said this multiple times, and now I'm saying it for you again. It took a Carter to bring us a Reagan. It took a Carter to bring us a Reagan. My prayer as we move forward in looking at Bidenomics as being a real thing is it's taken a Biden to bring us back around to a Trump economy. That's where we got it. That's where we're going for. That's what we got to do, y'all. Just on that alone, we have to trust that the Trump administration has proven itself as being more capable of handling the economy. It took a Carter to bring us a Reagan. I'm looking forward again. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.